You are listening to Session 16 of the Spirit-Led Leader Workshop conducted by Dr. Tim Jeffrion, President and Teaching Minister of Faith, Hope, and Love Global Ministries. In this session, Tim will be introducing a helpful spiritual practice.
How many of you are familiar with journal writing? I think I may have asked you this on Monday. Journal writing.
Okay,
a couple people. Okay, let me distinguish first of all about some different concepts related to journal writing. First of all, there's the idea of a diary. What is a diary? You can't. One person is. Were you answering? Yes. So write down our daily experience. And let's not use the word experience, just because I'm going to use that later. And let's say this is more writing down the daily activity. How many of you have ever kept a diary? Okay, maybe half of the class. So this is quite common. So I mean, many people do it, is what I mean to say. And that is, in a little booklet, perhaps the booklet has the day for the whole year in there, and in there you might write down class, a spirit-led leader class, and dinner with my family, and meeting at the church. And you just keep track of some of the things that you've done. Is there anything else that you would put inside of a diary? That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just jot down the activities. Mm-hmm. Journal writing often includes daily activity, but doesn't have to. So I'm going to just draw a line here. That journal writing can include a diary-like material, but that's not really the purpose of a journal writing. Journal writing is intended to go beyond activity to what's actually taking place inside of you, in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit. And so to that end, in journal writing, you may write down your thoughts about what happened. Or your thoughts not about what happened, but about life. Perhaps it's something that we talked about in class. You're thinking about suffering, and you're thinking about grace. And so in your journal writing, you might want to write, today we talked about grace, and it makes me think about this, and I wonder about that. You could also write feelings. Often there's a combination of thoughts and feelings. When my pastor called me from church today and asked me to help with this project, I felt angry because he's asked me to do so many things and he knows that I'm very busy. There's a feeling. Alright? You're laughing, maybe that's happened to you. But I'm just giving you an idea of a feeling, or it could be a joyful feeling. You know, today at lunch, I sat down with a friend, and we had 20 minutes to talk. And I feel so much joy at being with my friend. Or it could be, I taught a class today, and my teaching was very clear and powerful, and I feel strong and confident today. I don't know. Whatever your feelings may be, there are many feelings, but by writing about them, it's a way of expressing them and getting them outside of ourselves and then putting them on a piece of paper. What can grow out of that is from thoughts and feelings about your day, you might want to write about concerns. Here's where writing about your anxieties might be helpful. I'm very concerned about a meeting that's coming up next week. And then you also might want to put questions. Say something like, for example, I wonder why my father won't talk to me about his life as a child. It's a deep question. I wonder why God doesn't help us in this situation when we've been praying for so long. Those are wonderments. This is not a true word. I don't think it's in the English dictionary. But a wonderment is I wonder why something's happening. A question actually takes the next step and says, God, what are you doing here? God, how should I understand this person or that situation? God, where can I go for help? I need help, but I don't know whom to ask. I don't know where to turn. See, these are questions that might be in your mind. And it could lead to ideas. You have a concern about one of your students. And it makes you wonder what's really happening in the life of the student. I don't understand his behavior. And maybe there's a question. Why does he refuse to turn his papers in on time? And I've talked to him about it 10 times. And he always says he'll turn it in on time, but he never does. Why doesn't he? Why doesn't my school give me more responsibility? Why don't I get more respect from the others on this leadership team? I'm just trying to give you questions that you might think of that are deeply personal questions. And that might lead to ideas such as, I think I'm going to talk to him. I think I need to set an appointment with that person. I need to, or if you're concerned about your child, I need to play a game with my son today. Because it's been too serious. Now we need to have some fun together. So I have an idea. Well, what I find that is in my journaling, these aren't organized in any way. I just sit down to write about whatever's most important to me. But I notice there's often a progression. I'll start from my thoughts and my feelings, and pretty soon I discover I'm concerned about something. That's why I'm writing. And then at least I've got a question or a wonderment about it. And then in the process of processing this, what we call processing, it leads to some ideas. I think I'll do this, or maybe I'll try that. Or maybe you're here at a question place. What I suggest is that you then turn your questions into a prayer. Turn your concerns into a prayer. Turn your ideas into a prayer. Your wonderment into a prayer. So your prayer is not just saying the Lord's Prayer, which is memorized, or praying something that you always pray every single day of your life, or thanking God for the meal. But this is a prayer that grows out of what's important to you. That's the best way to have an intimate relationship with God, is for you to know yourself, what's important to you, and then you share that with God, and then you take your questions, take your concern, take your ideas, take your wonderments into a conversation with God or a request. I think I mentioned to you the other day that very often I just sit down wanting to write down a few thoughts and feelings of the day. And for, I think, probably understandable reasons, because of how I've sought to grow spiritually, somewhere along the line, 15 years ago, it's now become second nature to me that once I can identify a concern or question, it goes right to prayer. It's almost like I can't not say a prayer. I can't think of an analogy right now of something that just flows into it so naturally. But there was a time in my life when if I had a concern, that's as far as it would go. You probably know this from people that are around you. You get together with friends or with coworkers, and you talk about problems. Do you have friends like that you talk about problems with? Things you're unhappy with?
Yeah.
I have one person who admits it. Is Thomas the only person that talks about problems with other people? You're very, very discreet people. But we're not so discreet in the United States, I think. because it's usually, we need to complain. We need to talk about what's wrong. And it's not shameful, necessarily. If it's gossipy, that's wrong. If we're trying to destroy somebody else by talking evil of them, that's wrong. But if you just say, you know, if you're frustrated, you're confused, you don't understand, you're upset that something has happened, that's normal to have somebody that you want to talk to about that. But often in our lives, what I've noticed in our spiritual life is this is all we do. We're full of concerns. We're full of anxiety. What journal writing can do for you is help you to identify what you're concerned about, but then it can help you to move beyond it. How do you move beyond it? Not by just saying, oh, I shouldn't be concerned. That's shutting it down. I prefer a different approach. Identify the concern and then say, I'm frustrated with our principal and his behavior. I wonder why he does that. I wonder if there's anything I could do. Wondering. God, or now to myself, I might even ask a theological question. Why are Christian leaders so unspiritual sometimes? So I mean, that might be a question that I have. I would hope you would all have that at some point in your life. But that's a good question to ask. Because once you ask a question, then you're on your way to growth. If you never ask questions, I don't think you grow. So you see what I'm saying? But then, when you learn that by praying about these things, you can go to find answers. Like, remember what we did talking about prayer, about loving someone? And we took a few seconds to ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to love them? Yeah. And we did that, and many of you got new ideas. So, the old way is just to say, oh, that person, I can't stand him. I can't stand her. She's impossible. And all you can do is talk about your concern. You can talk about how bad that person is. But if you go on and say, Lord, how can I love this person better? Because you're theologically informed. And then prayer, Lord, show me how I can love you. Just see how this flows. And now I've been doing this for so many years and so many days that the flow is just natural. It's not an obligation. If I don't want to write a prayer, I don't write a prayer. There's no obligation. If I want to just write down what I did, that's all I write down. I mean, there's a freedom. It's a tool for me, a resource. What questions do you have about journal writing? That's how I would explain it. Jill, would you add anything?
I would say I do this every day as a spiritual discipline, actually. And the way that I was taught is a method where you write 3 pages. I never write 3 pages, but I type 1 page every morning, anything that comes to my mind. I don't do punctuation, I don't capitalize. Whatever comes into my mind, I just keep writing, and usually about the 3rd paragraph, God brings something up that I didn't know was there before. And then I do this personally. I always end with a prayer because I'm so interested in I'm a very creative person, so I get all sorts of ideas as I'm writing along, and I need to bring them back down to God. So I always, at the end, I underline and I write prayer, and then I write my prayer, and then I end.
Okay. And I think if you're going to use journal writing as a spiritual discipline, I think that's a very good model. And being the undisciplined person that I can be, I leave myself more freedom. But the truth is, I really function pretty much like a discipline because this is what I actually wind up doing. So good, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear another little perspective on this. Yes, Thomas.
Which comes first, your feeling or your thought?
That depends on your personality.
The other thing is, if you're a creative person in your journal, I like to draw pictures. Mm-hmm. Or if I see a picture, like in something, I'll put it in my journal. Or an image, and just pray that. Like this morning, I was looking at a picture of an angel, and it had the most beautiful green wings, very beautiful, from 1200 in a cathedral in France. It's what I studied. And that picture was the basis of my journal writing and also of my prayer, just asking God, show me your beauty. Show me how close you are to me. Show me when I can't see you that you're right there. Show me your messengers. Show me how beautiful your messages are. If somebody says something to me today, God, let me hear that it's from you and let me hear the beauty of it.
I like that. So there aren't limits on this.
We need the symbol. The symbol of John the writing.
Symbol?
Yeah.
What would be an example? A symbol?
Anyway, yeah. Well, I mean, for me, honestly, I need, the concrete, the symbol of the journal writing. Then I read it, and maybe then I will understand how to copy. You know.
So you want a structure?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I want to read at least one of the journalings that you. Somebody has so that I can
the format.
No format. This is real authentic journaling.
Here, okay, let me just.
This way, I just sample. I know you said Dr. Tip. What is most important to you, and sometimes importance. Is sometimes determined by our feelings. I thought the feelings should come, but it depends on us as our
person. Yes, and priority?
Yes.
Yes, because half of the human race is thinking oriented.
Yes.
Half is feeling oriented. We both have thoughts, everyone has thoughts and feelings. but some of us think first, especially men.
Yeah.
I mean, they tend to be more logical, rational thinking. And they're going to think first, and others, male or female, but more female than male, tend to process the world more on a feeling level first. So there's not that's why I say there's not a right or wrong. Start where you want to start. But I encourage you for balance and development is learn how to develop. Some of my thinking oriented friends. They couldn't talk about feelings if I paid them money. They can't do it. They can't. I'll ask them, how are you feeling? And they'll give me an idea or a thought.
Feelings
jerk. Right, I don't have one with me. But what I have from my last job is that I have a feelings chart where there are 50 or 60 different little smiley faces with different feelings on it to help us learn how to express our feelings. What you could do is, if you're trying to learn how to do this, is make your own list of every feeling you've ever heard of and ask other people for other feelings and make your own list. And I don't have that resource to give you right now. I actually do have it back at the hotel somewhere. But those of you who are feeling oriented, if you feel as if there are times you just get, your feelings are like being dropped in an ocean, and you're just all over with feelings all the time, you may just try to discipline yourself. Say, I can think about this too. Let me introduce some thoughts to help me make sense of my feelings. And it may not be natural or comfortable for you, but it may help balance you out.
Do you want an example?
Yeah, do you have a short example?
This is from my journal this morning, and I was looking at an image. It's an image of a person after they die from 1200, and it's a picture of Jesus. And in the medieval understanding, when you die, you were a little naked person. So Jesus has his left arm, and there's a little naked girl right here, and then there's an angel here and an angel there. And that's what I was meditating on in my prayer. So I'm meditating on the image of Mary's soul. It was a picture of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It was Jesus holding her after she died. I forgot whether she had the halo, but I'm guessing yes. Funny, no matter how old a person is, the medieval idea is that the soul takes us back to a time when we were little or young. Mary had hair in this image, beautiful hair, it seems to me. I think back to how she was looking into Jesus' eyes. She was looking up and looking into Jesus' eyes. What would a mother see in her son's eyes after death? What would a disciple see in the eyes of her master? What is the hope? for the post-death experience. And then I wrote a poem. Look into my eyes, God. Look deep into my eyes. I guess this is also a prayer. You already know what is there within me, but I want to experience this knowing. It will help to calm the fear that lurks inside. Let me look into your eyes, God. Let me see into you. I long for your welcome. Let me gaze unto the place of peace out of which you look at me and the whole world.
Okay, thank you. And now I'm going to read my journal entry from this morning. And listen for, I mean, I didn't know I was going to read this to you, but I'm just noticing, you know, listen for thoughts and feelings and concerns and questions and prayer. And I'm going to leave out the name of the person I'm referring to for confidentiality purposes. I'll just say a friend. So I wrote, I'm hoping to reach friend today by phone. I'm concerned about him. His email seemed to be cries for help. I sensed the Holy Spirit prompting me to write to him on Monday, and I found out he was just fired by his employer. He thinks he'll have to sell his condo, and when the money runs out, he doesn't know what he'll do then. I woke up wondering if I should talk to him about teaching with Faith, Hope, and Love. Would he be able to or willing to raise financial support? I don't have money to hire him. How much would he expect? Jill suggested that we offer his wife and him to use our apartment in Minnesota for a while if they need to get away. I thought our family's house in Wisconsin. I want to be a friend in need, even though our lives have been so separate for most of the past 25 years. Father God, please guide Jill and me to know how to best be a friend to Mark right now, and what to offer, and what fits with your good purposes for them and for our work. Please use this crisis in their lives to create something beautiful in them and to lead them into fruitful service. Amen. Okay, does that give you some ideas about how journal writing works for us? Joseph, question.
Do you write every morning?
I try to.
Yes, he does.
Just about.
What about you?
Yes. Yeah. Most mornings, I try to. Mm-hmm. Except sometimes on Saturday or Sunday, I'll take a Sabbath.
Almost always.
We are asked to write every week when we are in Princeton. Mm. We got the credit.
I'll give you credit then. If you start journaling, it won't do you any good. Okay, this is what I want to suggest that we do. I'd like to give you 30 minutes. Now, that may be too long, but we did 30 minutes of silence on Monday. So I'd like to give you 30 minutes to do journal writing. And if that's too long, then just use some of the time for silence and being quiet. And what I suggest is two possibilities. One is use this as a time to reflect on this week so far. Yeah. What's stirring? This would be a great integrating experience or resource for you. And if you're sure not sure what to write, then you could even use the two questions that from our last session about how have I seen guilt and toxic shame adversely influencing me or my church. But I don't want to restrict to that topic. Mm-hmm. Some of you want to talk about that, but maybe something else you want to do. All right, you ready to go?
Yeah, yes.
All right.